Our scripture lesson tonight is taken from the book of John. We will begin our reading with the 25th verse. May we hear the inspired word of God. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, "Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me." Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, "When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done?" The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come." Then said the Jews among themselves, "Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, 'Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come'? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.' But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Amen. And may God speak to us today through this his holy word. May his name ever be praised. Amen. Our subject today is Aquarius, the water bearer, the pourer out of water. If you have your planisphere or sky chart tonight, you will notice on the left-hand side the figure of a mighty man holding a great urn upon our shoulder, from which there is being poured forth a copious stream, which flows both to the east and to the west, and finally ends up flowing into the mouth or over the body of a fish. Aquarius, the water bearer. We've heard, no doubt, the song, "It is the age of Aquarius." What does that mean? Well, as the stars have moved through the precession of the equinoxes, they move continually around the sky, we have moved from one mansion of the zodiac to another. And interestingly, about the time that Christ came into the world, we moved into the sign of Pisces, which is the sign of the fish. Now, that precession of the equinoxes is going in the opposite direction to that which we have been moving in this series. And that sign of the fish has lasted for approximately 2,000 years, and then we will be moving in to the sign of Aquarius, meaning a time of peace and harmony and joy. Well, there may be something more to that than some of the modern infidels suspect, because indeed, we have been in the time of Pisces, the fish, a symbol of the Church of Christ. As we have seen, the fish or fishes are everywhere a symbol of the people of God. And we will be moving soon into the sign of Aquarius. But that sign does not mean merely what the astrologers and others today think it means. It means something very much more. He is, as we have seen, the one who pours out the water upon, as you'll notice, the southern fish, Pisces australis. And water, of course, is a great symbol of the Holy Spirit, which God promised to pour out upon the earth. Jesus said, "Come unto me and drink. All ye that are athirst, come unto me and drink." And that he would cause the water in us to spring up into an everlasting fountain of water. Water is a glorious symbol of life. It is one of the happiest symbols in all of the world. Dr. Joseph Seiss described it, I think, so magnificently that I would like to share your description that he gives of the glad aspect of water. He says that one of the gladdest things in our world is water. In whatever shape it presents itself, it is full of interest and beauty, whether trickling down in pearly mist from the fragrant distilleries of nature, or rippling in merry windings through the glassy dell or shady grove, whether jetting from the rocky precipices of the mountain or gathered into the rolling plains of oceans, whether sparkling in the ice gem or pouring in the cataract, whether coming in silver drops from the bow-spanned heaven or forcing itself out in glassy purity from the dark veins of the earth, whether in the feathery crystals of the snowflake or grandly moving in the volume of the ample river, it is everywhere and always beautiful. Next to light, it is God's brightest element, and light itself is as much at home in it as it is in its own native sky. Where such waters come, they bring gladness and rejuvenation, luxuriousness and plenty. Where they pour forth, sinking strength recovers, dying life rekindles, perishing nature revives. 1,000 delights are awakened, and everything rejoices and sings with new begotten life. Here we see that water is being poured out upon the figure of a fish. In the last chapter of this great sky book, we saw the dying goat Capricornus, which was giving life in its latter half to a fish which is emerging from the dying goat. As Christ was the great sacrifice for sin, and through his death the church, or the fish, was brought into life, now we see that that fish is sustained in life by the risen Christ, again in Aquarius, the water pourer, who is now pouring out the water of his Holy Spirit upon the living fish, upon us. And this is a great picture of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the Church of Jesus Christ. And this is a very important part of the message of Christ, repeated in so many ways throughout the Scripture, that God will pour out his Spirit like waters upon a thirsty land, and all of those that are athirst can come and drink. The Scripture ends with the fact that the bride and the Spirit say, "Come, and let him that is athirst come and take of the water of life freely." And those of us who receive Jesus Christ, receive his Spirit into us. But as the fish lives in the medium of water, so the Christian must live in the medium of the water of God's Spirit. That means that daily, day by day, we must seek to be filled afresh with that Spirit. We are leaky vessels. And the scripture says, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. The present tense of the Greek verb there indicates, be ye continually getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And I would ask you the question today, did you this day pray that God would fill you with His Spirit? Did you pray that prayer yesterday? All through the week. That is a prayer that we should pray every day, that God would fill us with His Spirit. Without Him, we can do nothing. And we need to be continually getting filled with that Spirit of God. We should confess our sins. We should pray to be cleansed. And then we should pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we may be empowered to serve God. If we are going to be of any use to God, it is going to be only through the power of His Spirit. Through that Spirit, there comes gladness and joy. The rejoicing heart is a heart which is filled with the Spirit of God. When we are close to Christ and His Spirit fills us, there will be joy. You know, you can tell if a person is walking close with Christ. When you see a person who is walking around downcast with a gloomy face, you know that person is not experiencing the joy of the Holy Spirit. He does not have that happiness. It's one thing to see a fish swimming gladly through the water. It's another thing to take that same fish and throw it up on the beach. Some of you look more like beached fishes than fishes swimming in a gladsome pond. And without the water of God's Spirit, that's exactly what we are. We are dying without Him, gasping, and that life and joy that He would give us will not be ours. He wants to give us the joy of His presence. At His right hand, there is joy forevermore. There is fullness of joy. If we stay close to Him, at His right hand, not afar off, but nearby, we will receive that joy from Him. So, my friend, may I urge you that each morning of your life, you begin by praying that God will fill you that day with His Spirit, that He will fill you with that Spirit, that He may grant you His joy, and that He may grant you His power, that you may be used by Him for the glory of Jesus Christ. Without the infilling of that Spirit, we are of no use whatsoever to God in His kingdom. As we know that with each of the major symbols of the different houses or mansions of the zodiac, there are three minor points that are related to it. The first of these three points, as you'll see, beneath Aquarius, the water pourer, is Piscis Australis, the southern fish. This, in Greek mythology, was a representation of Aphrodite. Aphrodite was transformed or metamorphosed into a fish because she was trying to escape from the horrible monster Typhon. Well, though the truth is bedaubed over with pagan mythology, I think that even now, as they're trying to clean off the dirt from the Sistine Chapel to find the original painting, that we can move away some of the incrustations of pagan myths to see the great truth that is behind that. Even as the Christian, the fish which represents the Christian, is transformed into a new creature as he becomes part of the family of God or the fishes of God, that he might also escape a horrible monster, not this time Typhon, but that which is represented, which is Satan. And so we have been transformed by Christ into new creations in order that we might escape the death-dealing clutches of Satan, and we now live by the power of that Spirit which is constantly poured into us by Jesus Christ. No longer a fish which is being born from the dying goat of Capricornus, but now one that is living gladly in the water poured forth by the risen Christ. And you'll notice that that water flows into the mouth of the fish. Some of the pictures show it flowing into the face and over the body. Some pictures show it flowing into the open mouth of the fish. But at any rate, we must receive that Spirit if we are going to live by that Spirit. The second decan, or subpoint of this particular chapter as it moves on, is Pegasus, which is above the head of Aquarius, the water bearer. And Pegasus means the horse of the gushing fountain, Pegasus in Greek, fountain horse. Here is a picture of the famous winged horse who is flying swiftly through the heavens. This was a horse which was associated in mythology with glad song. It was the favorite of the muses who sent forth their gladsome songs. He is a swift divine messenger bringing joy to all of those with whom he meets. Here we have a picture of Christ going forth in his gospel. Jesus Christ is frequently, as we've already noted, portrayed in the figure of a horse or riding upon a horse in the scripture. And here we see him going forth with the power of his gospel. As in Revelation, we find Christ mounted upon a white horse. And in the Old Testament also, we have a picture of the horse going forth with the same elements here. Christ going forth in the power of his gospel, bringing great victory and with good tidings and blessings. So here we have another picture of the church now seen not merely as a fish receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit, but now as going forth by the power of Christ carrying the gospel of glad tidings into the world, going forth swiftly with the wings of Pegasus, the flying horse, to take the gospel, the glad tidings, into all of the earth. We said that one, the first purpose that the Holy Spirit gives is he gives us cleansing and joy as we rejoice in God. But secondly, he comes to empower us for service. And that principal service is that we are to be the messengers of the glad tidings of Christ. And if we receive the power of the Spirit into our lives, we not only will live and rejoice in Christ, but we will be active in sharing the gospel of Christ with a needy world. As Pegasus, the winged horse, flies through the heavens, so we will fly through the earth carrying that message. And I would ask you, my friend, today, how accurately have you fulfilled that function in this past week? Has there been someone or more that you have shared that gospel with? Indeed, as Christians, we should never let a week go by that we have not talked to somebody about our blessed Savior, that we have great good tidings and blessings to bring. We have good news, and we bring with us the blessings of God. And these are the meanings of the stars that are contained in that winged horse, Pegasus. Message of good tidings, a message of blessing, a message of swift movement throughout the skies. And yet, unfortunately, for too many centuries, the church has failed to live up to its mandate to share the gospel of Christ with others. We rejoice in the testimony that we heard today of how Christ is being spread by others in Great Britain. And I rejoice that through evangelism explosion, there are men and women all over the world who are sharing the gospel of Christ, who are mounting that winged horse and are carrying the glad tidings to the four corners of this earth. This indeed is the greatest goal that any person can have in life. What greater accomplishment could any one of us have than to bring everlasting life to some lost and perishing soul? What is your purpose in life? What are you living for? What were you living for this past week? What did you accomplish? Did you accomplish anything that infinitely comes close to bringing eternal life and happiness to a living soul? When all of the rest of the things of this world have perished, all of those who have come to know Christ will still be living in joyful life everlastingly in paradise. Ah, my friends, as this a new week begins, I hope you will consider the importance of mounting that winged steed each day and carrying the glad tidings of Christ throughout the world. What a glorious message we have, and what a wonderful privilege is ours to share that good news with another. If you have some timidity, obtain the training, train yourself, learn how to overcome your fears. Become bold for Christ. My friends, let us not let the devil silence us and cause us to be mute in the midst of a world which desperately needs to hear the message of the gospel. I continue to be amazed at how in so-called Christian America there are still tens of millions of people that haven't the faintest idea of what the gospel is. And I want to ask you now, this week that lies before you, when it is over, will there be anyone that has heard the gospel from your lips? Or will it be another week of craven silence, blatant disobedience to him who said that we should go into all of the world and take the gospel to every creature? Yes, it is a great responsibility. But my friends, more than that, it is a great opportunity. It is a wondrous privilege. And I can say that I don't know anything that brings me any greater joy than to be able to share that message. You know, there are a vast number of subjects in this world that I'm interested in. In fact, I don't know too many things that I'm not interested in. And I've enjoyed studying all sorts of things. But there is nothing that I would rather talk about than the wondrous love and grace of Jesus Christ. And I have talked with many people about many other subjects and spent an interesting half hour or an hour, and that has been long forgotten and has left their lives unaffected. But I have spent many an hour or half an hour sharing the good news of Christ with people, and that brief time transformed their lives. And they will never, ever be the same again. You can have that joy too, and I urge you to be a part of that. Look up into the sky and see the winged horse Pegasus, and remember the privilege that is yours to ride that white winged horse throughout this world, bearing good tidings and blessing to those whom you meet. And the last decan, or part of this story of Aquarius, is Cygnus the swan, the lordly kingbird of the waters. And it's interesting that, again, it ties in with the picture of the waters. And Cygnus is one of the most beautiful of the constellations of the sky because it is the most perfectly formed cross that is to be found in the sky. This lovely, beautiful bird, this swan, is seen here in rapid flight. And if we look at the names of the stars, there is little doubt as to what the meaning of the symbol is. The brightest star in Cygnus is the famous star Deneb, which means the Lord or Judge to come. And again the star Azel, he who goes and returns, and Phaphagei, the glorious shining forth. And we have a picture of that one who died upon a cross in agony, smitten, disfigured, in whom there was no beauty when we saw him that we should delight in him, now returning as the glorious Lord, shining forth brilliantly in glory, coming as Lord and Judge of the earth, but all of the time bearing within his beautiful form that remembrance of the cross, that he who comes back again is still the same one who died upon Calvary's cross. And again, the perfect picture of the glorious gospel of Christ reaches its culmination again in the return of the glorious Savior, in the beautiful picture of one of the loveliest of all of God's creatures, the swan. And of course, he comes in that fashion to us who believe. For us who believe, we can look forward and say, "Even so, Lord Jesus, quickly come." Because for us, he comes in all of his beauty. And for us, he is a delight. He is the altogether lovely one when he left and when he returns. But for the unbelieving world, it is entirely a different story. He comes then as an ominous one. He comes as that one who comes to judge, destroy, and condemn them because of their impenitence and their unbelief. For them, the day of his coming is a day of darkness and a day of wrath. Dies irae. But for us, he comes as a beautiful swan. For us who are the fishes of God, who live in the water of his Spirit, he comes as the lordly king of the waters, the beautiful swan, coming to receive his own. My friends, when you think of the coming of Christ, does it fill you with joy and anticipation, or with dread and anxiety? It all depends on whether or not you belong to him. Can you say truly from your heart, "Even so, Lord Jesus, quickly come"? May we pray. We thank thee, O God, for the lovely, beautiful story of the gospel, which is written by the pen of the Spirit in the Holy Scriptures, and with the diamond pen of the finger of God in the starry heavens above. And we thank thee that the God of both is one and the same. And we praise thee, O Christ, for thy majesty, and pray now that thou wilt pour out thy Spirit afresh upon each of us. May we receive that Spirit even as we breathe in the air of this world, that our souls may be strengthened and filled with joy, that we may sparkle even as the water sparkles in the dew, and we may be empowered to ride forth upon the winged horse to bring the glad tidings to a parched world. For Jesus' sake, amen.